Thank you, Jesus. Sunday morning, 1:321. Learning to flow in the supernatural. The title of this is God Has a Plan. I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad that I don't have to come up with some kind of plan of how he's going to get me out of this mess or that mess or whatever. I'm so glad God has a plan. He's just wanting us to ask him or just line up in his will and the plan will unfold. That's what learning to flow in the supernatural is about Romans 12, 1 and 2, about being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might know God's will. Really, that's what it's about. It's to find out his will. Well, what is his will? It's his plan for you. Okay, we're going to start in Matthew. I'm going to start with Matthew 1, verse 18. We're going to kind of read a little bit through four chapters of Matthew at the plan of God. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So God had a plan, and he chose a very special man and woman that would listen to him. I'm sure Mary was petrified. In the little movie, in the Nativity, they bring that out. She went to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth asked her, "Are you afraid?" And she says that she was. And she said, "Well, stay here. We'll pray for guidance. We'll pray for God's will." Because here she is, unmarried and pregnant. You know, I mean, nowadays it's no biggie. But then it was a biggie. Joseph could have publicly stoned her to death, thrown the first stone. That's how serious it was. But God had a plan. He gave Joseph a dream and told him the story, what was going on, so that he could not do anything that was outside of God's plan. In fact, it advanced God's plan. Now, verse chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Here we talk about prophets. We keep seeing, well, the prophet said this, a child will be born, his name will be Emmanuel. Now the prophet again. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the hand of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And they had heard the king, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So here, they are following God, and God supplies for the plan. Provision came. He sent people clear way far other countries that traveled for months to bring provision for his plan. See, where God guides, he provides. Do you think that they were just at peace and rest the whole time? No. I think they had some anxiety. I think they wondered. First she wondered, what am I going to do? I'm pregnant. I don't have a husband. Then Joseph thinks, how am I going to provide for them? I'm leaving everything I know and everything I do, and I'm having to go to this other country, run for their lives. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. See, God directed them in the back door so that Herod wouldn't know. God protected them. God provided for them in his plan. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. More instructions as they're following his plan, doing his will. Details. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Can you imagine? I've heard people say how filthy Egypt is. It's just a nasty place. And knowing what kind of people they are and who they worship and what they do, does it really surprise you? Thinking, you want me to go live there? And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Many quotes about what the prophets said, the prophets had prophesied, even though it had been many years prior. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The wise men were truly wise. They perceived Herod meant to do the child harm, and they didn't return to him. In fact, they headed back east. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. God's plan fulfilled every step of the way from his conception till he was probably 2 or 3 years old at this time. God has a plan like that for you. Every plan of God is perfect, and he has a plan for each of us. And he wants us to get details when we do things. I know there's a lot of living in between. But, you know, kind of like with us. Well, you stay put. You do what you know to do, what he told you last to do, before he tells you the next thing to do. You're safe doing that, I believe. All right, chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye way of the Lord and make his path straight. Excuse me. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all unrighteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see, just in these few chapters, people that follow God and see God's will prevail. It grieves me today to know there's so many church leaders that have no clue of where we sit. And I believe it's because they, you know, if you're stuck in the rapture thing, it does a lot of damage. But also, if you don't know the truth about what is really going on, then you're not going to be able to rightly discern the times. If you knew what I shared with earlier in the Prophet's Corner, that there are Luciferians that are out to kill everyone on the planet except the ones they can siphon blood from, that mankind is truly their food, if they really had an understanding of that, do you think maybe their perception might change? Maybe the Lord's going to loose now for people to be able to be more plain spoken about it. Frankly, I'm not to the point I want to cuddle anymore. It's like you just say, well, this is the way it is. Deal with it. We've all had to deal with it. Do we like it? No. No. But the prophets have spoken. They have. And I don't understand that. I don't understand it, especially being a prophet and not knowing it. But it has to be based on how you've been indoctrinated and what you believe about end time events. That has to be. Futurism is, like I said, it's one of the most well, it's just the opposite of what God's Word says. It caused the whole church to escape out of here and not do God's will. We're supposed to be occupying. We're supposed to be doing His will here, you know, not looking for an out. Okay. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash the foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now Jesus was tempted to step outside of God's plan. And he had to be tested in that area so that God could trust him with the power. And when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. I will say this about most prophets, though, the few that I've heard. They all agree we're about to enter into the biggest revival from darkness to light there's ever been. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, cast a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on forth thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And he said, we'd do greater things than he did. God has a plan. He has a plan for each one of us to do his will. Okay, he oversaw the plan. Jesus' parents oversaw the plan for Jesus. He's overseeing the plan for you. Proverbs 37:23, I think it's, well, I'll just copy it down. 37, I think I know what it is. Oh, yeah, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. Okay. Of course, men can choose not to take those steps. That is why you see many that live and die and may even be very talented in some areas, but nothing ever happens for them. They did not trust God to direct them. Thank God Jesus followed the Lord fully and did not step out or speak out independently. The Nico we were talking about, I listened to that. And I'm telling you, as the man was talking, I began to see faith. There was a guy, Gene, that does decodes. I'm telling you, he's over everybody's head when he talks. He's the one that died, and he had all these experiences, kind of like the other guy that was on Sid Roth. And he talks about, the people that were interviewing him said, well, we just got $600 stimulus check. And he said, well, I'm already at $2,000. He said, I already got the $2,000. And they said, how did you get $2,000? He said, because I'm in another dimension. In other words, and that triggered me because he was talking about people that think negatively and speak negatively. They will experience that other dimension. And you wouldn't be in that dimension. And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about Ezekiel's wheel, how the eyes are all in the wheels and it looks every direction. It sees every direction. I mean, I don't pretend to understand all of it, but what he was saying, even though it seemed out there, it was like the Lord was telling me, you set your own timeline. He's talking about timelines. He said, I had to catch up with myself because I was in this higher timeline. I'm going, say what? But as he was saying that, I thought, I see it, Lord. I see what you're saying to me about what he's saying. I'm not even the same person that I was back in 2015. I'm on a totally different timeline. Why? Because I've come up higher in God. There's many people that will never experience all that God has for them because of the timeline they're on, because really in God there is no time. So what does faith do? It takes us to another dimension. Once I was blind and now I see. I was poor, now I'm rich. Like I said, I probably never understand everything that man says, and I take a lot of it with a grain. Because he believes in the rapture, I'm thinking, well, but still. Like I said, people, they form their opinions and they are where they are because of their thinking processes. But the more unlimited where we're going, we're going to see possibilities like we're talking about Philip being translated. If you're not open to that, you probably will not ever experience that. But if you're open-minded enough to receive from God, because he's got powers we ain't never seen. Now, he talked about the 12 me's, and I thought, okay. But I know what he meant. That was me back there. But it's not me today. He said, and they, at some point, there's junctures where they merge. And I'm thinking, that is weird. But I'm telling you, when you think about faith and coming up higher in your faith, receiving things from God, I just wanted to call in and say, you're just talking about mind renewal here. You can call it your 12 me's or anything else, but all that's happening here is your mind is being renewed to a higher dimension in God. Why don't you just say what the Bible says and all this other stuff that's like doo-doo-doo-doo out here? He does have enough smarts to know that the Nephilim and all that, that they're demonics. He's seen them. He's seen the weapons that can evaporate them. So, you know, I thought, Lord, there is nothing limits God except our thinking. You can't limit God in your life unless your thinking process is. That's why we have to renew our mind to God's will. He has a place for us to be that we can't even imagine right now. That's why sometimes it seems so slow getting there. It's not God being slow, it's us. Because we're coming out of all kinds of bad thinking processes and coming out of the off the plantation, if you will. I mean, he couldn't get the children of Israel to go into the promised land. They wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't believe that they could do it. Okay. I know that's kind of a mind blower, but after I listened to that, I thought, I perceived by the Spirit some things about what they said. That, Lord, there is no limits in you. No limits. It's like Back to the Future. Why should it be so outlandish to time travel? Isn't that what Philip did? He's translating the Spirit. I heard Jesse Duplantis talk about he was driving somewhere and this cloud filled his car, and then the next thing he knows, he's in another state that's hours away. God needed him there at that minute for something. We're so limited by this earthly and things that we think, well, that's all there is. And I'm telling you, it isn't. We've been living under an illusion. Okay. All right, learning to trust God is the biggest step we will make in our journey. Trusting God and trusting His plan, even when we don't understand it. Putting reasoning aside is a challenge, but necessary if we're going to follow God and His plan for our lives. Just like Mary, what am I going to do? I'm pregnant and I don't have a husband. They could kill me. Just like Isaac, willing to lay down on the altar and let his father kill him. Isn't that what we're doing in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I'll read that for the sake of those that will be listening to this later. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We have to lay it down like Isaac did. Do you trust him? Do you really trust him? In the Strong's, this is what trust means. To convince or to rely. Yeah. We see in the Matthew account how God kept them safe as they followed him. They were steps ahead of the enemy's plan. It reminds me of Q, because it seems like the president's always all these steps ahead of the deep state and what they're doing. Well, he has hindsight. We know that through looking glass, through the quantum computer. We know that they can see somewhat into the future of what they will do. Well, we can know too. We've got the Holy Ghost in us. We don't have to have a quantum computer to do that. We've got the Holy Ghost that can let us know what's going to happen. In fact, isn't that what he's been doing all these years? He's been showing us what's happening, what's coming. Joseph and Mary had to trust God even though they might have understood, they didn't completely understand his plan. God tells us to do things and we don't always understand. And that's where there's the rub. You have to not let what you think about it and your emotions and your understanding get involved in it. Oh God, why would you tell me to do that? Just do it. Your best bet is just shut up and do it. Say, shut up, mind. I don't care. The Lord has His purposes. He sees everything. I see just a glimpse. So I trust His plan. The scriptures sometimes look cut and dried, but human nature being the way it is, we know there's a lot of in between. So we read the story and see the plan complete and marvel at the details, but they had no foresight as we have today. Yeah, we can say, y'all don't be concerned, it all works out. Yeah, that's fine for you, but I'm on the other side of this thing over here. You do not have to understand to trust. You don't. All right, let's look at some more. Luke chapter 1. I like the book of Luke because Luke was a physician and he was detailed. You know how a doctor notices details? Well, he noticed details about things that the other books did not. We can trust God's plan without foresight. All right, I'm going to start verse 5 there. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. There's that reasoning. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. This plan was so important. He had to shut his mouth to keep him from thwarting the plan of God. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So, she even hid herself 5 months just to make sure. She didn't want to proclaim anything till she saw the evidence. All right. Let's keep going. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. But she hightailed it to Elizabeth to get that confirmation. She probably ran to Elizabeth. Oh, goodness. So we don't understand. Mary didn't understand. She knew it wasn't going to be a conception by man, but she trusted the plan. Why? Because God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider of the plan. He's the provider of the plan. We're waiting on some instructions on a plan right now that the Lord's instructed us to do. Okay, Lord, where's the provision for this plan? Well, he'll tell us. He'll show us what to do. That's how he works. We don't have to know everything. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 5. New chapter. Lord's bringing us into a new chapter. That could mean the nation, the world, which I believe, but it's also, it's going to affect the nation and the world. It's going to affect you. It came to pass, verse 1 of 5, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake by the fishermen. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto his master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Reasoning started to kick in. They said, well, hey, what have I got to lose? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. See, we've learned a long time ago about the step release program. You step out and do something, and then the provision comes released. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. See, they toiled all night and didn't get anything. But then they let Jesus borrow their boat. They got paid for it. Not just what they were owed, but man, a whole boat of fish. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I believe the day is coming that people are going to look to people that don't just talk it, but they walk it. You're going to say, we see the proof it works in your life. That's what people are looking for anyway. They're not looking for a bunch of mealy-mouthed preachers. They're looking for somebody that can, you know, say, well, we did this and God did this. Or, you know, God said do this and we did this and he did this. Wouldn't a wise man follow someone that's got proof that it works over just a bunch of sayings? Okay. They stopped their toiling and followed Jesus. He had a plan, and that plan was from God. God's plan works whether you understand it or not. He's not asking you to understand it. He's just asking you to obey it. The two young people that we encountered last year about how'd you get this house? They were thinking, yeah, I need to connect with the right kind of people. Yeah, you do. Jesus. That's who you need to connect with. God. Okay. It's not by human endeavor, like most people think. It's not by the jet set, but by the Spirit. All right. You know, if we hadn't started following the Lord and stepping out, we might still be back. Well, I felt Richard some of it, probably back on spur. I mean, that's a way back there. But every time that we stepped out, it was always a stretch. Every single time we had to stretch beyond what we thought we could stretch. Did we ever miss it? Yeah, I think there's a few times we could have. We looked back and thought, yeah, we could have done it, you know. But thinking at that time, we just couldn't make that big of a stretch, you know. But anyway, to walk in God's plan is to walk by faith, and it stretches us. Faith takes you where man has not gone before. I was telling you, like what Gene was talking about. God will take you to a new dimension, one you never thought possible for you. New dimensions, new ways of thinking, new timelines, if you will. Put you on a totally different path. That's a new timeline. Negativity and unbelief, which is distrust, only limits you. Doesn't limit God. Well, it does limit God. He can't help you, can't do what needs to be done if you get into the negativity. That's why it's very crucial at this time that we speak the same thing. We say the same thing. We don't get into negativity because there's so many that mean well, that have just enough information to just be negative and be down, you know, that's not good. All right. Let's look at Genesis 12. Verse 1, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. He could have made him that nation if he had stayed where he was. He had to do what God told him to do. Okay, now go over to 26. Verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac stayed in Gerar. In verse 12, Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. People will be jealous of you. I'm going to read this to get through it so I get all the details. I used to have a friend of many years. She had more things and did more things than anyone I'd ever known. They had more possessions. They'd been on 30-something cruises. I mean, we're talking, they seemed to have everything. I used to tease the guy saying, yeah, probably Home Depot and Lowe's, they come to your house when they need to stock up their store. She, from the outside, seemed to have a wonderful life. The only problem was she couldn't stand for anyone else to have anything. She was extremely jealous. You were supposed to be happy for her when she was blessed, but she was jealous and subdued when you got blessed. She was jealous of what God gave me. Well, this reflects on an absolute distrust of God. She came from a very strict Pentecostal background that did not know God's grace and love, but condemnation and judgment. God's going to get you type of thing. And when they sinned well, let me tell you. Well, after many years of this, I decided that I couldn't abide with this anymore, and I told them goodbye. Never let anyone cause you to settle. God has His best waiting for you. And don't be upset when people are jealous of you. They were jealous of Isaac. The Philistines envied him. Use it as an opportunity to say, well, you could have it too. Also, this person, they could not receive instruction. They were very rebellious, very, and that comes from being condemned and beat down by preachers. That they come up under a real strong woman preacher, very, and it scarred them, it marred them, where they couldn't receive God's grace. Not blaming them, I'm just saying it warps people. Jesus said, good news, you know, bring the good news of the kingdom. Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 10:22. It used to baffle me. She had more than I probably ever would have as far as at that time. And I thought, why would you be jealous of me? Right here, 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." We are very blessed because we have followed God's plan the best we could. We have had mockers, though. What are y'all doing with that big old house? They want you to be like them, downsizing on a fixed income, griping over a senior citizen discount. This is not the life for me, and God is not in that. I'm telling you, go to war over a 10% discount on a hamburger. The AARP generation. I've seen preachers like that too, man. They whip out that clergy card to get their 10% discount. I'll never do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not looking for handouts. Except the Lord's handout. The Lord's blessings. It maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Neither does toiling increase it. Well, just a poor old preacher with holes in the bottom of his shoes. No, that's not God's way. Okay, Psalms 92:14. Get the AARP thinking out of your brain. 92:14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Well, 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, even in old age. That's God's way. Deuteronomy 34. Verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, you know, God's notorious for using older people to do things. Probably because they finally took that long to get some sense. More than likely. Joshua 14. Verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. And yet I'm as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord says. So at 80 and 85, they're going to drive the Anakim, which are the giants, out of the cities. And by the way, Moses did climb up that mountain to see on the other side. And he could see. Okay. Do you trust God's plan? Retirement system is not God's plan. It's the God of this world's plan. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this years ago, it took nearly 1,000 years for God to kill, for the devil to kill, or for Adam to kill himself. So Joseph and Mary, they were quite a team. They followed every detail of the plan of God, and he made provision for that plan as they followed him. Where God guides, he provides. What God placed, he graced. Don't limit your possibilities. It could come from anywhere. Elijah was fed by ravens. Wise men came from the east with riches. One time, was it you that the Lord gave this. If we need a provision, the Lord could bring a donkey with a dove on its back with money in her mouth or something like that to give you if you needed it. All right, God has a very detailed plan for you, and if you trust Him, He will fulfill it in you. And I've got some scriptures here we're going to look at, and we're going to be done. Psalms 16. Verse 1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." Verse 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." Psalms 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." 4 is good too. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And then 5, "Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday." 56:4. "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 29:25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Isaiah 26. Verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Isaiah 43:2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Jeremiah 17:7-8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers, or by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Sounds like Isaac. 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In other words, don't let your situation compromise you. James 1:6. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The he that waves is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." So we have to trust when we ask, God's going to do it. 1 John 4:16. have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So if we're in God, he is going to provide for us. Okay, that's going to be it for today.